Galatians 5:1. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:1. Psalm 36:7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Psalm 36:7. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Psalm 36:7. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. Proverbs 28:13. Children, please stand for Bible class. Good to see everybody here that was able to make it in your boats. It actually slacked off just in time for us to get here pretty smoothly, so it worked out. Before we begin, let's take a moment of silent prayer so we can get in fellowship and utilize the restoration of fellowship technique. And so we can learn and apply the word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We know that you are always with us. We know you're always doing your actions in love. And we thank you for that, even though we don't always see it. We know it to be true because of your word is true. We pray for clarity tonight. We also pray for understanding so we can see your plan and see who you are as a person so we can grow and take on your mind. We thank you for that opportunity. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Today we're on part five of Forgiven in Christ, and we'll be in some of Psalms, some of 1 John, but I think we'll be all over the place, really. So I don't know if I could give you a specific verse, but we will be there. And I'll keep this right here. So we noted Sunday that God has a plan. He has a plan, and it's a detailed plan. And we called it a protocol plan, and it basically is God's divine procedure. And we talked a little about that, and we said it's his specific procedure for the human race. And he designed it, and he designed it for us to be included in it. He also gave us a handbook with it called the Bible, which allows anyone to be able to take part in this system. The only requirement on our part is positive volition. That's it. That's simple. Positive volition on the part of the individual is required. Seems pretty simple, right? So for salvation and throughout your life on this earth, a desire for God and His Word can overcome anything. Anything. All it takes on our part is a desire. The desire. When we have the desire to grow, learn, figure out who God is and what He has for us, that's all it takes. We can overcome anything and everything this life throws at us. We saw the simplicity of His plan and the clearness of it, and we saw that in a few words we looked at. One of those words was the Greek word to confess. And we saw it was so clear in that the meaning of the word was basically to speak the same thing that had already happened, which was sin. Not to add anything that we have to offer, but just to say it, name it. The word was homologeo, and it means to speak the same or to agree to, confess. And that's part of the just a tiny bit of the protocol which we can see of God's divine design. And then we looked at a little bit of the results of unconfessed sin and what that looks like in our lives. And we had looked at Psalm 32, 3 through 4, where David explained that to us when he talked about when he refused to confess his sin. He said his body wasted away. We talked about what that meant. And his groaning all day long. Day and night your hand was heavy on me. So we saw that a result of his withholding his sin from God the Father was there was a lot of pain and suffering and discipline, but it was all in love. And we can see him rejoicing after that. Actually, you can see that in verse 1 and 2, and then you can see it again in verse 5 and 6. The results of him going to the Father. So, and this was physical and mental suffering that was caused from the unconfessed sin. So remember the digging effect that it had. It didn't just sit there. It had an effect that lasted, and it just dug. And it didn't stay the same necessarily in David's life, because we see that the way what he's telling us is it started one way, and then God stepped in and made it another way. So we don't need to create our own problems and also let it linger to where God steps in the picture and intensifies that discipline on ourselves. So we bring suffering on ourselves if we choose not to respond towards God. And then God steps in to help us make the right decision. So that was the grace aspect of our decision to hold on to that. That's God's graciousness to step in and say, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you see the problem and see, have you turn towards me and go in the right direction. So I was thinking about this response on our end to confess and to see what this looks like. And this response is very critical on us allowing ourselves to see that there is an issue and we need to turn in that direction in order to solve the problem. And we see this all the time in people that we know or even ourselves. And I'm speaking to believers, the believers. We see a choice of not to respond or not responding for prolonged periods of time. Not necessarily us per se, but we do know believers in our lives that believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they are in an extended period of not turning in the right direction. So this response is critical in a sense that it takes one decision, and also that one decision can change your life for the better or for the worse. And we've seen both ways in David, and we also see it in people's lives, including our own, just hopefully not for an extended period of time. But we do see that in people all the time. So we see them living their life as if it wasn't going to end or didn't have a higher purpose and a plan from God. Some of this includes a career, a family, or pleasure. And those are all good things. But one thing that they're excluding is God from their life. That's the most important thing. So, and maybe giving Him lip service. I was recently over the weekend speaking to someone that was a believer. They do believe in God. And I felt like they were in this stage, this unconfessed reversionism stage. And I was just trying to encourage him, basically, on to move forward, you know, how's that going? And the response was, well, I pray all the time. And I like to talk about God a lot. And, you know, those are good things. But if you're not tuned in with your spiritual walk, if you're not getting to know the person who you're praying to, how do you know what to pray for? How do you know your prayers are being heard? And we'll look at that a little bit here in a minute. But there's certain things about our lives that we need to note, that we must stay in tune with our relationship in order to continually grow. We have to. And the only thing that keeps us from that is sin. And many times this is a long road of seeking happiness in the world and not finding it. And God uses that to show us that that isn't the right direction. And that's His grace as well. So God always has a way, right? He has a way of redirecting our attention and to look for something bigger and better than anything this earth has to offer. And that's really what it's about, is recognizing that. So the only true happiness, and we know this, in this life is found from growing in our relationship with Christ through the consistent teaching of His Word. This is explained in Colossians 3, 1 through 2. So, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. What is this saying? Well, there's two imperatives here. One says, keep seeking the things above. And the other one says, set your mind on the things above. Those are the two imperatives that we're told to, commanded to do. Seek and to keep, where are we at? And not on the things of this earth. So set your mind and to seek. So in order to deal with sin as designed by God, we have to set our mind on the only one that can take care of that sin for us. That's setting your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. So God's design is through grace, and grace always excludes anything that I can offer. Another piece of this is sometimes we have a tendency to think that sometimes what I have or what I can give or what I can bring to the table, God needs. And that's a mistake on our part. God does not need us. We need God. We need to always remember that, because sometimes we can think, well, maybe God really needs this, what I'm giving or what this, whatever service I'm doing, or this or that. But God doesn't need any of us. He created us and He owns the universe. So He doesn't need us. We need God. So to glorify God is saying that we need Him to live this life. That's what glorification of God is all about. Saying, I need you. And it's always about putting Him first, which includes using His divine procedures. So one result that we talked about, the first result that we had went through is discipline. And we talked about that one. This was both self-induced and from God. And this is always rooted in love. The love and the discipline concept is also found in Revelations 3:19. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. There's that turning we see again. And here's the time aspect. We can see here the time aspect to this too. Remember, I mentioned that it's not a good idea to stay out of fellowship for extended periods of time. This says be zealous. This word means desire earnestly, eagerly seek. So it's saying hurry up, go back, get back, go. Earnestly seek, eagerly seek. And this is born again believers. The only thing a born again believer is repenting is sin. If you're going to repent as a believer, it's from sin. So this is speaking about confession. If you're going to repent as an unbeliever, the only way to repent is towards Jesus Christ as a believer in Jesus Christ. So our problem is carnality. And repentance and a change of mind comes from a recognition and going back to the source. So we see the time element here. And we must be eager to turn towards God. The sooner the better. The next result of unconfessed sin, and I think now we're into some new material, is physical death. Of course, this isn't immediate. But over time, if we bring discipline upon ourselves and don't address the problem, it will eventually lead to what is called the sin unto death, which you've all heard of. This is the sin terminating with death. And you can see that, and remember, this unconfessed sin turns into exponentially more than what it was to begin with. We saw that in David, and we can see that in our own lives. And if left alone for an extended period of time without turning, physical death can occur. So this is the sin face to face with death is a sin which is repeated many times and there is no restoration of fellowship. So what's happened here is the individual is no longer taking in the Word of God, no longer growing spiritually. They are a believer. They were growing at one time, but for some reason they've peeled off. And this doesn't have to be one sin in particular. The sin in this case is rejecting your spiritual growth. And that's where it gets a little shaky. When you neglect or reject your growth, that's when the timer starts to tick for this kind of discipline. There's a point in our lives where God says, you know what? You're not doing me any more good on this earth, so I'm going to go ahead and take you home. If you're not glorifying me, you're a Christian, you're supposed to be an ambassador, I'm going to give you a set amount of time. I'm gracious, I love you, but that time's got to come to an end. So this is where God's love and forgiveness are rejected, repeatedly rejected. This is the sin which keeps you from continuing your spiritual growth. So this is also described in Psalm 7:14 through 16, Psalm 118, 17, and 18. The next result is not being forgiven. I didn't know if I should put this one in here, but it technically does fit here. This is based off Matthew 6:14, and I'll read it for you. It says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." So you notice that Jesus is talking here, and he's not saying that God is unwilling to forgive. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that when we are in a state of carnality because of not forgiving others, that's what he's saying. He's saying, I will not forgive you. Then we are not forgiven. So this is something that has to do with harboring sin. Harboring just means we hold on to it. We keep it. We keep it in our mind for an extended period of time. We hold on to that unforgiveness towards someone. And our forgiveness of others should never be based on how they act towards you. Never. Or whether or not they've said they're sorry. This is arrogance on our part to even expect an apology. This includes waiting for a change of attitude from the offending party. Forgiveness is just another part of God's gracious divine plan. That's all it is. His divine procedure and plan. And since God forgave us in grace, guess what we should do? Forgive. Forgive others in grace. I got this definition from probably the most liberal school in America, but they had a great definition, so I wanted to use it. It's from the University of California, Berkeley. It said, what is forgiveness? This is in a humanistic sense, of course, but the definition is very accurate. It says, psychologists generally define forgiveness as a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment or vengeance toward a person or group who has harmed you. Now, here's the key part. Regardless of whether they actually deserve your forgiveness or not. Are y'all with me on that? Everybody's like, well, wait a minute. Can you take off that last part? That, to me, is the most critical part of this. Whether they actually deserve it or not. And this is why God's system is so great. This is why it's so great. Because this is where the grace aspect comes into this. Forgiveness brings the forgiver peace of mind, and I'm still on the human side of this definition, so don't. Forgiveness brings the forgiver peace of mind and frees him or her from corrosive anger. While there is some debate, while there is some debate over whether true forgiveness requires positive feelings towards the offender, experts agree that it at least involves letting go of deeply held negative feelings in that way. It enables you to heal and move on with your life. I took out some of the humanistic parts. But anyways, if they can get it right, or at least the definition right, their forgiveness can't be rooted in the same thing yours is. Can't be. But ours is rooted in Jesus Christ. So this is really what Ephesians 4:32 is talking about. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. This is saying forgiving each other. Forgiving each other. God's policy towards us is grace. And that should be our policy towards others. Grace. What happens when we put a prerequisite on our forgiveness? We're putting a prerequisite. We're saying someone has to be sorry so that we can forgive them. Then we completely and totally are forgetting about how and why God forgave us. Completely and totally are forgetting it. God forgave us in love and grace, not because of anything we did or didn't do. Nothing. And that's our motivation. That's why we are motivated to forgive. We can't expect something that may never come in our lifetime. It may not come. And that shouldn't be your motivation on why you're not forgiving. The reason you forgive is because you were forgiven. And you are forgiven. And you always will be forgiven. So we have to take this into account. And if it's not real in your life, it's not going to be a reality. It's not going to be a reality. And we can't forget about our ambassadorship. We can't forget about our ambassadorship. This is our representation of Christ in our life to others. This is what this is. And what happens when we put the prerequisite on our forgiveness? What kind of example are we setting? You've got unbelievers, you've got new believers, and you've got growing believers that you're setting an example for. These three. And they're seeing you, and you're setting a prerequisite on what's preventing you from forgiving them. That turns into a stumbling block on the less mature in the situation. They see you as a growing, mature believer, and you're holding that in. What is that saying? It's saying, well, I can do it too. If they're growing spiritually, if they're right with their relationship with God, but they're not forgiving, it blows everything out of the water. So our ambassadorship is critical in this. Part of growing up spiritually means we take on a servant mentality. We ultimately serve God, and part of that service to Him is humility and serving others. And this is big in all of our lives. This is a subject that hits every one of us at home. Forgiving others. Glorification of God is not self-serving and cannot include humanistic prerequisites like demanding an apology. Can't. When this is what we're doing, it's very clear to God and others that what's most important to us is not the offending party, and it's not God. Those are not the most important things in our lives. It's my pride. It's my ego. That's what's most important. So forgiveness, we have to remember, that is rooted in love. And that's why love is above all. Love is above all. When you think about forgiveness and you relate love to it, it's a beautiful picture. Love is really what we're talking about. Love. And this kind of love is unconditional. It's unconditional. I don't care what you look like. I don't care what you said. I don't care what you did. This is the attitude we should have. I don't care where you're from. It doesn't matter. I'm not saying did it something happen in the past? Yes. I'm not saying that's gone. What we're talking about is the actual forgiveness here. That's what I'm talking about. So this unconditional is not based on the condition of the individual that hurt you. This love that you portray or give is a love designed that you have from inside you. It's in your soul. This is a love that we have from God, not from us. And that's how we can love. If you base it on the individual, guess what? You'll never forgive them. Never forgive them. You won't do it. It has to be within you. So this is an awesome problem solver. Love and humility and growing spiritually. This is how we're going to do it. And the scripture tells us we are to love in the same way as Christ loved us. Exactly the same. The same love. What He did for us on the cross, for no reason. He didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. Or we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But He did it. So see how that forgiveness isn't necessarily deserved, even? It's not even maybe something that you think you should do or want to do. But when you add love and the grace of God behind it, it's just done. It's done because it was done for you. So this love resolves problems with other people that can't otherwise be resolved. It can't otherwise be resolved. And the reason for that is because it's rooted in grace. It's rooted in the grace of God. And this kind of forgiveness releases you to continue your spiritual advance on the upward swing. It releases you. If you can do this, it will release you. You will look back at that and blow it. It'll be in the smoke, in your dust. You just keep running. That will be part of the past. And what comes to your mind now is the grace of God and how He allowed you to forgive that person. So otherwise, you could not have done this by waiting on an apology or a change of attitude. You'll just get stuck. You'll get stuck is what will happen. If you're going to wait on something that may or not come, you'll get stuck. What's always there is God's love and God's forgiveness. But you have to be in tune with your spiritual life or it's not going to happen. So, and this also, another note to this is it also brings glorification to God and blessings to us. Look what all the things we're withholding by not giving up this forgiveness. Glorification to God. And on top of that, when you look at that problem in the dust, you're about to receive some blessings for it. That's what's going to happen. Those are both good things. So you're on the road to more growth, more blessing, more capacity to handle more that God has to give you in your life. These things are all tests. Every single one of them. They're all tests. They're designed to allow you to see what you do with the Word of God and your spiritual life. We come here every day, or we grow every day, day in and day out, in the Word of God. We can't just sit there and listen. We've got to be tested. It's just like an exam we pass out in school. God does the same thing. He's going to pass you exams, and He's going to give you one that just meets your spiritual growth right there. Not above it, right there. So is it going to be easy? Nobody said it was going to be easy, but guess what you have the capability to do? Pass it. Pass it. You do. You've got it. So the next result is bad decisions. Bad decisions from the unconfessed sin in our lives. We saw this in Genesis 3. And we saw it in, or you can see it in David's life in Samuel, 2 Samuel 11. We talked a little bit about this in Adam and Eve. We saw the human good, the first case in human history with the fig leaves. We saw where they made another decision to hide from God. We saw another bad decision. They were afraid. And then we saw another one. Adam blamed Eve. Then Eve blamed the serpent. See how it just keeps going? Decision after decision becomes, you know, it's like a snowball effect you got here. So part of fellowship with God includes being fully influenced by the Holy Spirit or filled by the Holy Spirit. And the only result of that, the only result of that is right decisions. Guaranteed. If you have confessed and you are in fellowship with God, you are guaranteed to make a right decision. Write it down. Not literally, in your brain. Just mark it down. Can't go wrong. If you're in fellowship, you have no other way but a right decision. And that's an encouragement to me. And, you know, if you go in a place where you're not sure about the environment or the people or the circumstance, you're not really sure what to say or do, guess what? Get in fellowship. You can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong. God will, the Holy Spirit is helping you at this point, fully influencing your thoughts and your actions. And guess what? It's not up to us. He's making the choices. That's how it works. Now, can you get out of fellowship? Of course. But when you are in fellowship and staying in fellowship, only right decisions can come out of that. It's described by walking in the Spirit in Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. We've all heard this passage. For they are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. It's also described as walking in the light in 1 John 1:7. So walking in the light. A very big part of our lives as believers in Jesus Christ is prayer. Prayer. I know a lot of you are big, you pray a lot. A lot of people pray. Some of you a lot more than others. It's a good thing to stay on top of. It's a good thing to do, and it's a good thing to stay in tune with so you can see results, so you can know what to pray for. If you know what to pray for, well, then you can have an idea of what to look for the result. And that's always a good thing, too. So prayer and our goal in prayer should always to be, is always to be effective. That's what our goal is, to be effective. But you can't be effective if you're not heard. You can't be effective if you're not heard. The general reason for prayer failure is carnality. That's Psalm 66:8. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He will not. Another good one for this is Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. So God does not hear the prayers of the carnal Christian. So always make sure that that's one of the part of your procedure beforehand. Unanswered prayer. We already said that one. The next one is not prospering. Proverbs 28:13 talks about this. And this was one of our scripture readings today. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. I don't know about you, but the last thing I want to hinder is prosperity. That's the last thing that I want to hinder, is growing positively and prosperity in this life. We always want positive results, whether it's in our work, our job, our family, our environment. We want prosperity. This word means to be successful in life. You can apply that to everything. You can apply that to your health. You can apply that to your family, your job, your work, everything. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. So we don't want to hinder prosperity in our lives. So, applying God's forgiveness in our lives is the only thing that works. It's the only thing that works. And we kind of started with that. And I just wanted to mention that because it's the only thing that works. We went through all these different things, the results. But if you look back through these and you flip the results around, isn't it interesting? to not have divine discipline, to have a prolonged life, to be forgiven, to make right decisions, to have answered prayer, and to prosper. Those are all positives, and we should all desire to have those things in our lives. And all it takes is staying in tune with our relationship and staying on top of our sin in our lives through confession. That's it. That's simple. The procedure's there. So we saw that sometimes we look other places for that, to people or other ways. But we always have to remember that all sin is ultimately not against ourselves or against other people, but it's against God. It's against God always. That unforgiveness that we're holding, guess who's that? That's against God. Against you and you only have I sinned. That's David, Psalm 51. And I'll say it again, and it's the obvious, we've heard it before. But sin is a spiritual problem, and a spiritual problem always requires a spiritual solution. Always, always. Whether it be forgiveness, whether it be things not going right in your life, whether it be some problem, some sin holding you up, guess what? It requires a spiritual solution. Always. So there's three things, and we'll end it here, that result from your restoration to fellowship. Recovery of your filling of the Spirit, which is your recovery of your being fully influenced by the Spirit in your life. Restoration of your fellowship with God. And resumption of your spiritual growth. Those three things. So that's all I have. And I think we got through all of our... Yep, that was the last one. Now Jason can't claim he's the only one that has nothing to teach about. So let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to see how important and how critical love is, and the importance of love, and the only way to find it is through you, and a result of that love is true forgiveness. True forgiveness, and therefore we can glorify you. Thank you for being able to take part of that. And also thank you for the most important love and grace that we've seen in history, which is your Son, Jesus Christ. To anyone that who has never felt loved or never felt a sense of need, we know that we're all here on this earth for a reason. And that reason is to become a child of God. And the path to that reason and that life is always open and available. Scripture says if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what happens? Life on this earth for you has changed. You are now a born-again believer and will spend eternity in heaven. All it takes is faith alone in Christ alone. Thank you for your plan, the ease of access, the ease of use. Everything's graced out. We thank you so much for it. In Christ's name, amen.